Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said wise men think without talking. Fools reverse the order. We're happy to have the privilege of being with you today, and we're hopeful that as we study together of God's Word, we'll learn something that we didn't know, or maybe something that will be encouraging to us in our study of the Word of God. We appreciate your listening and encourage you to tell others about the program. Let's get back to our study and our discussion in regard to the matter of prayer. To the child of God, it's vitally important to be able to call upon his Father in heaven and talk to him about the things that have to do with his life. Prayer is essential to a child of God. And even those who are not children of God indicate the fact that they recognize the importance of it, because when they get in trouble, they want to borrow prayer. When they have problems that they don't know how to handle, they want prayer. And so they really recognize the fact that prayer is very, very important. We were looking yesterday at the model that Jesus gave to his disciples in regard to prayer. It's not actually the Lord's Prayer. It's a manner that Jesus used in teaching his disciples regarding prayer. We commonly call this the Lord's Prayer, but if you want to look at the Lord's Prayer in actuality, look at John 17, and you find the Lord praying to his Father in heaven. On this occasion, in Matthew 6, Jesus is just telling his disciples how they are to pray. Notice in verse 9, he says, pray after this manner, our Father, and that recognizes God as the maker of all mankind, which art in heaven, that's the location of God, and that's the desire of the child of God to be with God in heaven. Our desire is to live in such a manner that we will accept and be able to enter into the reward for those who are children of God. All right, he also says, hallowed be thy name. And the word just simply implies the idea of holding in the highest of respect and honor. Your name is to be respected. The name of God is to be held in the highest esteem. It bothers me, and I'm sure that many of you feel the same way, at the way that the name of God is being used by our society in general. There's hardly a day that goes by but that we hear some neighbor, some friend, some co-worker, some person that we associate with blurt out the name of God as a byword. It's not uncommon to hear even little children calling upon God in this manner, not with reverence and respect, but out of a lack of that reverence as a byword. We hear people frequently talking about things, and maybe people we're not even talking to, but we can't help but overhear as they talk about our Father in heaven as a byword. God's name is to be respected. We ought not to be swearing, cursing, using God's name in a vain, empty way. He ought to be respected. And so when you and I say, our Father, which art in heaven, we're doing that out of our respect for God, not as a byword. We see it on television, we hear it in the movies, we hear it on radio, we hear it on the public street. Public speakers use God's name in vain. Those who are in places of responsibility don't hesitate to use God's name in a vain, empty way. What are we coming to as far as our respect for God is concerned? There are some, however, who when they use the name of God, you can mark it down, it's with respect. They're not cursing. They're not using God's name in a vain, empty way. They're doing it with the utmost of respect and appreciation for their Father in heaven. Hallowed, then, be the name of the Lord. Thy kingdom come is the next expression, and of course at that time the kingdom had not come. The kingdom is the church. Now, I know that because I can look at passages that refer to the church and then later refer to the same body of people as being the kingdom. In particular, I find that in Matthew 16 and verse 18 and 19. In verse 19, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." Now there's the body of people. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." Verse 19, he called it the church in verse 18, and in verse 19 he called it the kingdom. The term church and kingdom are just different terms referring to the same body of people. When I refer to them as being the church, I'm talking about the called out. The word ecclesia means called out, and it's people who've been called out of a life of sin. So when I use the term church, I'm talking about the people called out of a life of sin. Then also, when I use the term kingdom, I'm thinking about a king and subjects. As you think about a kingdom, you think about who's the king. Well, of course, the king is the Lord, and so he has a kingdom. Who are the kingdom? Well, those people who are subject unto the king. So those terms are used interchangeably. Well, when did the church or kingdom come? Or is it still something we're looking for? The premillennialist tells us that we're still looking for the kingdom to come. And he talks about the time that the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom as though the kingdom has never come. The only fallacy with that is the fact that when Paul wrote the Colossian letter, people were already at that time in the kingdom. Did you ever hear tell of anybody being in something that doesn't exist? Well, the kingdom must have existed. It must have already been here, for in Colossians 1 and verse 13, the record says they had been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So they were in the kingdom. Wouldn't it be folly then for us to be looking for the kingdom still to come? Well, of course, the kingdom has already come, and they were in the kingdom. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, look at verses 6 and 9, indicate the people to whom the writer was writing were in the kingdom. And they were kings and priests. They were in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Well, as this relates then to this statement, you and I think about praying after the manner Jesus taught, we could pray for the kingdom to spread or to grow. We could not pray for it to come because it's already come. We would pray for it as far as growth and spreading throughout the world is concerned. So, thy kingdom come would have reference to the church or kingdom, and would have reference to the fact that we, as members of that kingdom, or part of that kingdom, would pray for its development and growth. The Philippian letter, chapter 3 and verse 20 says, we are citizens of that kingdom. Our citizenship, our conversation, is in heaven. And so we are a part of that heavenly kingdom, and our citizenship belongs in that place. So when we come to this expression, thy kingdom come, we would include in that, the kingdom has come, bless the kingdom, and let the kingdom grow and develop. All right, we'll be talking about some more of this in our study tomorrow. I do hope you'll be listening, and in the meantime, that you'll take the time to realize it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.